Grace and peace be to you this day from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I start a series of six messages based on a series called Walking with Those Who Walked with Jesus by Richard File. To start, let me share a quote from the Augsburg Confession. And I would hope that most of you would know that the Augsburg Confession is one of the foundational documents of the Lutheran Church. It says, and I quote, "Our churches teach that the remembrance of the saints is to be commended." Now, those of you that are familiar with the medieval church may be surprised to hear this, that the worship of the saints is something to be valued, not the worship, the recognition of the saints, not the worship of the saints. That was the problem. But Philip Melanchthon, one of the leading theologians at the start of the Lutheran Church, gives us at least three reasons why a study of the saints' lives is very appropriate. First, he says we should recognize that these early apostles and saints, as we refer to them, were God's gifts to the church, and that they themselves used gifts he gave them in service to him. Second, Melanchthon tells us there are lessons to be learned by the study of their lives, and this should strengthen our faith. And third, they all had their weaknesses, just like you and I have our weaknesses. And yet, we find in studying their lives that however weak they were, God's grace was stronger. And I thought it was probably fitting that we should start our series on the disciples with Peter. He was one of the disciples that was very close to Jesus. He was there when Jesus was arrested in the garden, and he came to Jesus' defense. And then he trailed behind Jesus all the way up to the area where Jesus was accused and tried. Now this morning I'd like to try something a little new and make it a little fun at the same time to see how much you know about Peter, whether you know certain things. So we're going to have a six-question quiz. And the first answer, if you get it right, if you have that answer on your mind when I give the answer, you get 5 points. The second one, you get 10. Third, 15, 20, 25, and 30. Okay? You can keep count mentally how many points you have, or you can make a note on the bulletin, however. First question, 5 points. What was Peter's occupation when Jesus called on him to follow Jesus? Answer, he was a fisherman. If that was your answer, you get 5 points. Number two, what was the name of his brother, Peter's brother, who was also called at that time to be a disciple? Answer, for 10 points, Andrew. Now, there is a third name for Jesus, for Peter, excuse me, used in the Gospels. His first name was Simon. And he was usually in Scriptures called Peter. Peter is actually a translation of a name that's only used once referring to him in the Holy Scriptures. Do you know what that is? This will be a tougher one, but it's worth 15 points. Cephas. In what city was Peter eventually put to death by crucifixion? It's not in the scriptures, but it's in the traditions and accounts passed down from the church fathers that he was crucified upside down. He was crucified upside down according to traditions passed to us because he said he was not worthy to hang on the cross in the same manner that his Savior did. In what city did he die? Answer, Rome. That's 20 points. And do you know in what year he was killed? And we have to say probably killed because with ancient records and that, you know, we could be off without knowing it. Answer, it's generally accepted that Peter was martyred in 64 A.D. Okay? And that was worth 25 points. And here's the last question. Where was Peter born? And he was born in the same place a couple other disciples were born. And that was in Bethsaida. Okay, add them up. Is there anyone here that thinks they were over 50? 50 points? Okay, well then it was worth doing. It was worth doing then. I had to look up one of the things myself, so don't feel bad. I have chosen for our deliberation this morning to base this message, Peter the Rock, on Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 32. It gives us a good example of Peter's life in general. And as Reverend File put it, quote, "It really does describe Peter at his best and sometimes at his worst," unquote. Shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus dismissed the crowd and told the disciples to get into their boat and go on ahead of him to the other side of the lake. That's what Matthew 14 tells us. And Jesus himself went up on the mountain to pray. And by evening, the boat was a considerable distance from the land, and it was being buffeted by strong waves because of the wind. And during the fourth watch, and the fourth watch, it's believed, referred to a period of the night just before dawn, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. During the fourth watch, Jesus went out to the disciples walking on the water. And when the disciples saw someone walking on the lake toward them, they were terrified. That's not just not the sort of thing you expect to see happen. And Jesus calmed them by saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Those words were printed out, and the original copy was very readable there on the front of your service folder today, but the mimeograph machine didn't like the picture and put it so heavy you can't read all of them. But that's what they said. "Take courage, don't be afraid, it is I." And Peter recovered quickly. He said, "Lord, if it is you, let me come to you on the water." And Jesus' answer to that was, "Come." And Peter got off to a good start. He got out of the boat and started walking on the water toward Jesus. He was doing well. But then Peter lost his focus on Jesus. He started thinking about how strong the wind was. And he began to focus on that and how high the waves were. And he became afraid. When he became afraid, he started to sink. "Lord, save me!" he cried out. And Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. And our Lord said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those in the boat worshipped our Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is a good account to remember if anybody comes to your door or you're out having a religious discussion and someone says, "Well, I think Jesus is special. He's all right. He had a special mission, but I can't accept that he's God." They worship Jesus and he accepted that worship. And only God should be worshipped. So that's a place in the Bible that it's good to remember for us to give testimony. One special thing about Peter was he asked many questions. He was drawn to Jesus and he wanted to know more and more about him. He seemed to have an unquenchable thirst to know about God and to get answers to various things. In Matthew 15, he wanted Jesus to explain about the clean and unclean things. Matthew 17, he wants to know how many times he had to forgive somebody. In Matthew 19, he tells Jesus that the disciples had left all to follow him. And what was in it for them? In Mark 11, he asked Jesus about the fig tree that the Lord a short time earlier had cursed and had now withered. In Luke 21, he wants to know who's Jesus referring to when he tells us to be watchful. And in John 12, he wants to know where Jesus is going and why Peter can't go there with him. Peter is a good example for all of us here. How do we grow spiritually? We grow by seeking the truth. We grow by asking questions in our Sunday classes, in our small groups. We grow by asking questions of the pastors and other informed people. And we certainly grow by reading and studying the Bible and asking somebody when you don't understand something. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, quote, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Peter certainly had his faults. But give him credit for this. He wanted to know what it was all about. How about you? When people look at your life, do they see someone who has a thirst for knowledge about our Lord? Or do people, and I say this generally, and any of us could fall into this, or do people sometimes want to go to heaven, but they hope to get there doing just enough to get by? Well, we don't get there by what we do anyway, but I think you know what I mean. It makes a huge difference. Those who hunger and seek after righteousness and have a hunger for the Word. Makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference in what you can accomplish for the Lord. Peter had his faults. But Jesus made Peter a fisherman into a fisher of men. And actually, we're all supposed to be that. It's also instructive for us to realize that Peter had a main weakness that seemed to be with him a good part of his adult life. He was too impulsive. What do I mean by that? He often reacted and said things before he had thought them through. That was part of his problem in walking on the water. He knew the weather was bad, it was windy, and the waves were very high. The boat was rocking back and forth. If he was going to think about that, he should have done his thinking before he stepped into the water. I bet every one of us has failed at sometimes and spoken a little too quickly. I know I have. But there were other occasions. This wasn't a one-time thing. In Mark 8, Jesus told the disciples he had some really bad news for them. He said that he was going to go to Jerusalem. Okay? He said he was going to die there. He said he was going to be crucified, but that he would rise again. Now, I have a hunch that Peter never heard the end of that sentence about him rising again, because he was still dealing with the first part of the sentence. And Peter, of all things, began to rebuke Jesus, correct him. According to Matthew 16, Peter said, "Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you." And what did Jesus think about that? Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Wow. Think about that. Here Peter believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but at that particular moment, his words were serving Satan. Isn't that scary? Can't that happen to any one of us if we're not careful? I believe it can. As Christians, we need to be careful about what we say. But there is no question that Jesus loved Peter. He would correct him when it was necessary, but he was patient for him. He prayed for him. Jesus understood what a force for the Lord Peter could be. Just some time before that, Jesus had asked Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter had responded correctly when he was asked who Jesus was by saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Jesus said this of a man who would later, on three occasions, deny that he even knew Jesus on the night when Jesus was arrested. But that same man, just days later, stood on the streets preaching about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Scriptures tell us about 3,000 people came forward to be baptized into Christ. For all of his weaknesses, Jesus made Peter into a rock through the ministry of the Word. And he will do the same for us also if we will but follow him. He knows each of our weaknesses, but he loves us also, and he is patient with us. He had a promise for Peter, and he has a promise for us. In John 7, he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Jesus is a life transformer. He made Peter into the kind of Christian who was as solid as a rock. And he can make rocks out of us also. With joy, we remember today the Apostle Peter. as a changed man who served his Lord well. And we also remember and admit that like him, we have our own weaknesses. And we need to be careful and make sure not to let Satan exploit them. For Christ's sake, amen.